Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to be in the 13th chapter, the last chapter of Hebrews, which is mainly his benediction here on this epistle. Now, pardon my speech this evening, been damp here all day, and this mucus in my throat giving me problems. All right, the first verse of this 13th chapter, kind of a funny verse. It's four words. Let brotherly love continue. That's your first verse. Verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, it's verses like this today that is causing a lot of controversy in our churches, is caused too by the footnotes in our teachers' Bibles. You see, this is the reason we need the Holy Spirit, because in studying, we have to remember that only the Word of God is true, and that comes to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because mankind, even good men, men that don't mean to lead us wrong, but yet because of their teaching and their understanding, they do. And we're beginning into this in our next letter a lot more than we are here. Now, he's talking about entertaining angels. Well, actually, I'm going to read you a footnote on that verse here in my teacher's Bible so you'll understand exactly what I'm saying about it. One incentive the author tries and uses to encourage love and hospitality is that some have entertained angels unawares. For example, Abraham and Lot were aware that their guests were angels at the time they received them. Care must take so as not to read too much into this statement. The verse says that some have entertained the angels in the use of the present tense, meaning that some do entertain angels, would provide grounds for expecting this still to happen. Now, but such is not the teaching. You see, we should nonetheless show hospitality to the needy, for it will benefit us as well as them when it is done as to the Lord. So you see, although the Word of God tells us, and it's also in the New Testament too, but that some entertains angels unaware or unexpectedly. And here they're saying that in this day and time, it don't work today. But they are those of today that has entertained angels. Now, it don't tell us that we all will, but it can happen. That depends on us and the Lord God and what he is wanting of us and how to get us the greater understanding of that. Now, three, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Four, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now we know that marriage is honorable if it is done according to the Word of God. If when you marry, you are the husband of one wife and she is going to be the wife of one man. If neither one of you has another living spouse, that's fine. But either one has a living spouse, no. That leads to adultery. That you don't want. Now, fast. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've heard that several times as we've come through the Bible this far in our study. Now, 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, that is the thing that we all need to remind ourselves of. We don't have to fear mankind and what he can do to us, or what Satan can do to us, even through others. Because when God is with us and for us, they can do nothing that the Lord will not allow. Think about that. You know, and there's a lot of things that we cannot even do to ourselves. The Lord won't allow it. We have, he's gone on home now to be with the Lord Jesus, but we had a very great evangelist. Out of Jeffersonville, Indiana. His name was William Branham. Imagine a lot of you has heard of him. He tried twice to kill himself after losing, and he had gotten to the point to where he wasn't really looking at God, looking to him. And he was also a lineman for electric company. That was his line of work. This is before he became a minister of the gospel. He had been called, and he knew that, but he wasn't really at that time wanting to accept the calling. He had been hurting too bad. He just wanted to die. Climbed one of the poles and reached out and took hold of the 440-volt electric line, which should have killed him. All it does is knock him off the pole. He didn't kill him. The next time, he took a pistol, put it in under his chin, and pulled the trigger. It wouldn't fire. You see, God took care of him. And he decided then that he needed to do what God was asking him to do, and he got into it, and he was one of our great evangelists. For many, many years. And he was one also that when God was ready to call him home, he let him know that he was going to call him. And basically, about when? He was out in California, been holding a revival, and at the end of that revival, he told them that he was telling them goodbye. They told him, said, "Will you be back next year?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm going home." They didn't understand at the time what he meant by it. To them, he's coming on back here to Jeffersonville, Indiana, and he'd be back the next year. He'd been going several years there. And he left out California, and he was coming across Interstate 10. And he come around the curve, and he met a big rig truck that was on the wrong side of the road. And he hit that truck head on. And they said that he was dead before he ever hit the pavement. God had let him know. He didn't tell him how. He just let him know that he was going to be bringing him home. So we never really know how God is going to work with any of us. Some of us he brings home early, and some he leaves longer. We don't know why for either one. But you see, he has his reason and his purpose. Now, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. When you're talking to someone about the Lord, are you actually talking to them through your faith and by your faith? Because you see, that is when authority goes out. Now, 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. So if he don't change, nothing changes. So we don't need all these controversies that we do find in our footnotes. But they're there because of mankind. And that is because they want to jump around and use too many verses to make them say what they want said. Because they want to teach things their way, because they do not understand and want to teach the truth of God's word. Right now, most all of our well-known pastors are married to ladies that all are considered pastors of the church. Think about that. Which is strictly against the word of God. It makes you wonder why. It's because they don't have the true understanding and revelation of the Word of God, because even though they've been taught that they have the Holy Spirit, they don't have Him. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to live in a heart that is doing anything wrong, that is contrary to the Word of God. And we all know about that because we've been through it. We have been through that study about the ladies and what they're not supposed to do and what they're supposed to do. God has a work for them. And they need to be doing their own work. And they would be a lot greater help to the church than what they are trying to be that they're told not to do. 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You see, there is a difference, and God warns us and lets us know that they are strange doctrines out there that are not of the Word of God. But yet, they are going under the guise as being Christian. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, in other words, be sure you're in the Word and you're not trying to profit by these things that are contrary to the Word of God. 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin and burned without the camp. 12. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, you know, when we look at those four verses, do we have an altar? Does the author mean we Christians, are we Jews? In light of the following verses, we Jews provide the clearer thought. Well, yes, because the one, this was being wrote to the Jewish people, this epistle. Now, the wording and the meaning of it is also for you and I today under the church, but it was wrote to the Jewish people. The argument of verse 11 is that there were times within the Jewish ritual when even the priest could not eat of the sacrifice. One of them was the Day of Atonement. Rather, the flesh was taken outside the camp and burned. So now also, as the believer's sin offering, Christ has been separated from the camp of the Levitical worship. Those who have turned to him for redemption must also join him outside of the camp, for Here have we no continuing city. May be a forebody of Jerusalem's imminent destruction. Even if there were no prophetic intent within the author's statement, God is about to remove the temptation for Jewish Christians to return to the sacrificial ritual of the Jerusalem temple. This occurred in AD 70 when Titus the Roman destroyed the temple and Jerusalem. And we know they did. That was in AD 70, when all that took place in heaven. Now, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When we give Almighty God thanks for the things we have, thanks for the day he gave us, thanks for letting us live through the day, and thanks for everything he's done for us, that thanks is giving him praise also. Think about it. 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's why we come together as, and that's why the church should be at work in helping those that are outside even, that is in need. We are to take care of each other first, but we are also to help those that are outside, that is in need of help. Now, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for there is unprofitable for you. For that is unprofitable for you. Now, you know, this is what I'm talking about. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be getting the understanding that we get in the studies that we have if we were to do it on our own. It would just be words, and the understanding would not be there for us. 18. He says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Now this is the author's benediction. 19. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. These are things this author is asking for in his prayer and in his benediction. 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, passing on a blessing unto them there. Now, he goes on here in 22, and he says, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Well, it wasn't all left you. We got 13 chapters and a whole lot of verses and a lot of things the epistle has covered. Now, but this is his statement to them. 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Timothy had been 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Well, we know that a lot of these were of Italy. We understand that. And he ends with this 25th verse here, which is another small verse. Grace be with you all. Amen. That is his benediction to the Hebrew people and the church there that he was writing to. Now, we're not going into it tonight. We have finished with the Hebrews. Our next one is James. There was four men that were so named as James in the New Testament. But the one that has been most accepted as being the author of this epistle, James, is the half-brother of Jesus. And, you know, he was another one that wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus until after his death. No. You see, now here in describing this epistle, before we get into it, it's telling us the authors that identified only as James. There are four men so named in the New Testament, yet the evidence unquestionably favors one candidate. Two that were insignificant in the early church were James, the son of Theudas, called the Less, and virtually unknown James, which was in Luke, and James, the son of Zebedee, and brother of John, though better known, also lacked prominence in the early church and was martyred at the early date of A.D. 44. And by contrast, James, the half-brother of Christ, possessed all of the qualities of the author. First, he was the one James referred to by his name alone with, and it tells you to see chapter 2, 9 through 12, Acts 12 through 2, and also 12 through 17, and it tells us to see Acts 15, verses 13 through 21, you know, And it goes on telling now here, so was obviously well known to the scattered believers. Second, the language of this epistle echoes the speech of this James that's in Acts 15, which was the half-brother of Jesus. And as a leader of the Jerusalem church, this James was a prominent figure among the dispersed Jewish Christians. The Jews regarded him as the James. And as a half-brother of Jesus, James grew up in a carpenter's home in Nazareth and later moved to Capernaum when Jesus began his public ministry. And like his brothers, he did not believe in Jesus as Lord until the end of Christ's earthly ministry. But after the resurrection of Jesus, James received a special post-resurrection appearance of Jesus and experienced Pentecost and was a leader of the Jerusalem church throughout most of the history. You know, so you see, it took quite a bit for him to accept his half-brother Jesus as Lord, as the Messiah. But he finally did. But it was after the Lord's death and resurrection, his earthly ministry was over, and he had went back to heaven. But then he met him by revelation. So depending on how you live your life, you can't rule out anything that this word talks about. You cannot rule out seeing and meeting an angel. We're told in here that we have a guardian angel. One day, something may come along that the Lord our God will send that angel to us for a reason. These are things we don't know and won't know it until that has been revealed to us. Just like with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There are a lot of people that believe they have the Holy Spirit that don't. And then they assume that when they receive the Holy Spirit, it takes them a while to understand they have him. And other things will have to happen for them to get that understanding. But James now too is filled with a lot of things that will help us on our journey. Chapter 1, when we get into that, will be on faith and humility and hearing and doing the word. That's all in chapter 1. And there are a lot of other things. The James I've read a lot of times. I spend a lot of my time in the Bible in James and 1st and 2nd Peter, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, because there is so much in those three epistles that we need in our lives, and especially the understanding. And when we can get to the point of understanding them, it helps us then with the understanding of the rest of the Word of Almighty God. because then you will have that Holy Spirit living in you, He and the Lord Jesus and the Father all living in you. And you will understand. All right. May the Lord watch over us through this night and bring us all back together again in the morning in time for our study at 10 a.m. in the morning. But let us pray now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we praise you for everything that you give to us. And we give the Lord praise and the Holy Spirit for what they do. And Father, Israel and Jerusalem, may they receive peace, Father. But more so than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, is filled with so much evil that has turned and walked away with no excuse whatsoever and started calling good evil and evil good and passing on even into our churches things that should not have been, especially received and accepted. Now, Father, for those that are in our government that has brought this evil, for them to be removed from office and be replaced with those, Father, that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church and your people, and love this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded with, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for all that are out there just listening this word to accept their healing. It was given to them long ago, Father, because we are healed by his stripes. Those stripes that Jesus bore on his body has given healing to us. Accept it. Believe it. Your word says it. We believe it. That makes it done and so. Now, Father, watch over us all through this night. Bring us back together again in the morning, back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a good night. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Put your faith, your trust in him, not in man. Good night.